Ladies and gentlemen, Erica Napolitano. She's here to talk to us this morning about her upcoming book, which is making its debut here at South by Southwest. Give it up. It's called The Power of Unpopular. So a little bit about Erica. She is the persona behind Redhead Writing. She is the head redhead at Redhead Writing, which is also a digital strategy consultancy based in Denver. And their specialty is not letting brands look like assholes online. She's going to talk about her book I mentioned, The Power of Unpopular, which she describes as a better way to run your business and your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Erica Napolitano.
How's it going? Can you guys hear me? Okay, because I'm kind of a loud person. First of all, thank you. God, my session is competing against apparently a free breakfast taco event and daylight savings time. So the fact that all of you rolled out of bed to see me is pretty awesome, and I thank you for that. So this is a book reading session, and apparently I was supposed to come in and read from the book for you guys, but I'm assuming everybody in here has kind of an eighth grade education and can read. So I thought I would tell you more so about who I am, why I wrote the book, why the fuck you should give two shits about me standing up here, and tell you what you'll find in the book, and more importantly, what you won't. Because there's a lot of things floating around at South by Southwest this weekend, and I'm probably one of the most outspoken brands that you're going to find here. The first thing that you should know about my presentation is that I really hate slide presentations. So what you won't be able to do after this presentation is ask me for my deck and have some solid takeaways to share with your colleagues back at the office, and I hope that's okay. The question that I'm asked most frequently is, Erica, you're a really outspoken brand. You're brash. You're in your face. You use the F-bomb like it's a comma. Do you ever lose business on account of it? And do you worry that people find you unpopular? And the answer is, yeah, I lose business every day, and it walks right out the door. But it's business that I'm glad to see leave. And the question that they ask after that is like, well, when did you become so comfortable in your own skin? And I actually have a date. I have two dates. So the first one is August 26, 2010. I met a guy named Jason, and I fell in love. When you wake up every morning and you have somebody next to you who is 100% of accepting of who you are, a lot of us don't have that, and when we find it, it's startling, and we want to push it away. So here was this kiddo. I called him Kiddo. And he woke me every morning with, good morning, beautiful. How you doing? Middle of the day, he would call me up. Hey, I know you don't have time to talk. I just know that you're kicking ass. And he accepted me, a lot of tattoos, foul mouth, for everything that I am, and more importantly, for everything that I'm not. The second date that changed my level of acceptance was October 31st, 2010. That's the day that Jason died. A lot of people just looked up. That's shitty of me to start your Sunday morning with, this guy died. But until that day, I was invincible. I could do anything and nothing could hurt me. And it was that day that I realized that every reason that he loved me was the reason that I didn't give a shit what people thought about me. So, and how this all connects to the book, and this stuff isn't in the book, is he was the first person, the only person to ever read this book proposal before it went to the publisher. And he picked it apart, he threw it back at me, he challenged me to make it better. And the day that I got the call from the publisher saying, Erica, we read this, we would love to do it, was the day I was sitting in the Denver airport catching a plane for his funeral. So this is actually a huge part of this. This is for Jason and every other person out there who grew up and realized it really doesn't matter if you got picked last for kickball. It's time to leave the playground. That's why I wrote this book. We're raised with this very juvenile concept of what unpopular means. How many people in here with the prom king or queen? Homecoming? Spring carnival? Yeah, oh, there's one. Everybody except her has the chance of actually starting and running a successful business. And she knows I'm kidding because she's here, and that's why people come to South By, to be challenged by ideas, pimp their shit, and meet people who actually will make a difference when we leave this huge fucking convention center. So leaving the playground is hugely important because what people thought of us in school doesn't matter. And that breaks it down in a pretty simple fashion. But here's the thing. The popular kids in school who had the coolest jeans, the coolest sneakers, they had the cars when they turned 16, this and that, they're followers. They don't start anything new. They say, this is what you have to do, or it doesn't work. Unpopular kids didn't have that. And unpopular brands understand the power in understanding not everyone is going to like you. And not only that, you don't want everyone to like you. Because truth be told, not even Walmart has something for everybody. And so why are you building a business with this dream of universal popularity when in fact the most successful brands we see in today's marketplace are anything but popular with everyone? How many people in here own an iPhone? How do you feel about it? Yeah, I got thumbs up.
Great.
Daylight savings time. Jesus. I broke it. How do I unbreak it? Press the down button. Hey, we didn't break it. How many people in here like Oprah?
Three.
Ellen. A lot more hands. Yeah. New York Yankees. Red Sox. So what we've done, those are some of the most popular brands in today's landscape, and not everybody raised their hand. And the bottom line of that is that's okay. Because if everybody in here raised their hand that you're going to like my book, the last thing I need is another sycophant. And that's the last thing that your business needs as well. What this book does, what I hope it does, is it challenges what you think the word unpopular means, helps you redefine it and embrace it, and find a way to help it work for your business. So there's five things that are important in this book. Just five. Skip all the other stuff. The first point is brands need to have a personality. And there's a distinct difference between the two sides of this slide, and that being unpopular is not the same as being unlikable, and having a personality doesn't mean being an asshole. Huge difference. And well, the last thing you want to be is the sheep in the middle, the gray sheep that people walk away from indifferently. When is the last time anybody in this room went out to... Have you gone out to dinner with a group of friends recently? Like five, six people? Just the two of you? Like all of you? All of you went out to dinner last night. Awesome. Where'd you eat? I'm kidding. Did you guys agree with everything said around the table during every conversation? No, huge head shaking. Why do you think your brand is any different? If you think your customers are going to agree with your brand 24/7, you're mistaken. And brands have a huge fear, as people do, that we're going to say something that hurts a friend's feeling, that we're going to piss off our customers. Let's just get that off the table. You're going to piss some people off. No matter what kind of business you build, no matter what you say, whether you say it to your mom, your best friend, or the checkout cashier at the grocery store, you're going to piss some people off. Embrace it. Because when you piss people off, it's not about being an asshole. It's about opening a conversation and having the opportunity to go, tell me what you thought. Tell me what you think. And then it's your brand, your job as a brand and a business to figure out what that means to your brand and how you're going to incorporate that into what you carry forward. The next thing that an unpopular brand needs to have is a sense of approachability. When we see the brands that we love, especially in today's digital landscape, even if it's a local coffee shop or a business that we only know online, what they do is they put off the welcome mat for those customers. They say, hey, not only are you welcome, come on inside. And when you come inside, we're going to introduce you to people who are just like you. Brands act as concierges. They act as matchmakers. They act as friends who hook you up with the cool person. You know, two of my best friends in this room, Shelley Kramer and Meredith Branscombe, introduced me to one another. And my life is better for having them in it. That's what great brands can hope to do, especially in the digital landscape today. The next thing that an unpopular brand does is it makes itself shareable. I just like this image because it's like, hey, I want your sheep, which is really kind of esoteric, but I'll take your sheep. When brands make it easy to share, your message goes further than you ever thought it could before. People pass it along, and as a business owner, when you say, hey, where did you hear about blank? And they go, oh, so-and-so told me. It seems simple, but it's the most powerful tool that we have today is having a personality so people understand who we are and what we stand for, because quite frankly, in the middle of the road is where people get run over. You never see roadkill on the side. You see it in the middle of the road. Have an opinion and let people start a conversation with you, good, bad. Indifference is the death of brands. And when you're approachable, people understand that they can walk up to you and start a conversation. And they understand that they're a part of your brand and that their opinion is valued. And then they're willing to share your brand because you come in and you go, hey, this is who I am. This is what I've got. And I appreciate the fact that you tell other people. But then something really crappy happens. There's a lot of people using your brand. And you have to figure out how to grow your business. And scalability is something that we all as business owners have to realize that we can't do it all ourselves. So how do you build a business from the ground up that is meant to grow so you own your business and your business doesn't own you? And the last thing that an unpopular brand has is, and I have to look at my slide, I'm like, God, I've read this manuscript 73 times and I can't remember number 5. It's because I'm human. That's the other cool thing about having a personality and being an unpopular brand is that we're human and we're fallible. And brands appreciate it. Customers appreciate it when brands say, fucked up. Yeah, mea culpa. And how can we make this better for you? The last thing is profitability. How many here go to work for free in the morning? Yeah, it feels like it. I know. And so there's two kinds of profitability in a business. There's the financial side, because God knows we all started a business because it has a awesome 401k plan, medical benefits, and like 3 weeks paid vacation a year. Does anybody in here get that? No, I don't. So the other side to that is, if it puts money in your bank account, what is the emotional side of that? How do I put my heart and soul into something and have it pay me back so I don't feel like I'm selling my soul? So the reason I wrote this book is because I think it's time that we rethink what unpopular means. That popular brands go out there and it's a broadcast mechanism. Brands that try to be popular are copying other brands. They're the me too's, and they become the one-offs, where you want to build a one-off. Being a one-off is pretty cool because you get to actually say what you think. How fun is it to walk on eggshells around a pretty girl? Yeah, it sucks. How fun is it to not be able to sit at dinner with your family and say, yeah, mom and dad, I know you've never seen me speak before, and that was 17 uses of the F-bomb in 20 minutes. Aren't you proud? I own that. You own that. Don't apologize to the people in your life for who you are, and don't apologize to your customers because you're building something for them. And more importantly, don't apologize to the people who are never going to like you. It's wasted breath. It's wasted time. And it's something everybody else is already doing. So there are some things that you won't find in this book, everything on this screen. You're not going to read another case study by Zap about Zappos or Southwest Airlines. There are no Steve Jobs quotes. And most importantly, it's not Shakespeare. I'm a good writer, and I own that. But I'm not Shakespeare. What I hope you take away from this book is understanding that I'm a business owner just like you, and it wasn't built based on what you should be doing. It's based on what I found didn't work. So you can go and make glorious new mistakes in your own businesses and learn from those. So I did have the opportunity when doing this book. I have an incredible photographer out of Fort Collins, Colorado, and we did some promotional shots. And he's like, you know what? I kind of want to dress you up as the prom queen. And given that I never was, I was the last thing that you would think of as popular in school. I was like, I'm in. And so he took this shot and he sent it to me. And I was like, that is so awesome because it's the complete antithesis of what this book is about. These are the kids I hated. And right before South By, a couple weeks ago, he sent me a file and he's like, hey, I hope you don't mind. I did some additional touch up on the file and I think it looks a lot more like you. And I agreed. This is what we should do to our businesses every day. We should tear them down, build them back up, and see what makes them look better to us. And then ask our customers, ask our audience, what do you think? Having that dialogue, it's pretty unpopular because your customers tell you some really, really hard to hear things. Because you think you're building one thing and that you love it. And I keep hitting the microphone, I apologize. You're building one thing and you love it. And then it comes down to what they tell you you should be building. And that's when a real conversation can begin. This is where to find information on the book and me, if you care. But the most important thing I want to do now is open it up to questions and ask you, what is the most unpopular business decision you've ever made? Nobody's ever made one. Yeah. Raising prices, that's hugely unpopular. What did it do for your business? Doubled it within a quarter. So, yeah, and that's if you didn't hear, he doubled his prices and within a quarter, doubled his revenue within a quarter, and the two clients he didn't love working with went away. That's hard, watching business walk out the door. Who else? Yeah. Discontinued a product. Why would you do that if it was selling? So we're getting rid of customers. This is awesome. We're kicking people out the door. Who else? Just two people? Oh. What was that? Firing the popular kid. What was he doing to your business? Wow. So being popular with everybody isn't necessarily the best thing for your business, especially in your own office. What else? Yeah. Closed a business. That sucks, doesn't it? It hurts. But what did you take away from that? Freed you to do what you wanted to do. That's cool. So what questions do you have for me? Yeah, what you got? Thank you. He was asking, how do brands develop their own unique personalities? It's easy to me because it's what I do for a living. So let me share with you what I think. You start by figuring out what your company represents and who your target demographic is and what that audience wants. Because if you are a conservative Christian brand dropping F-bombs, and I'm not going to do that in here because it's Sunday, put those words together, because I do have some of a modicum of respect. Modicum. But you don't. That's incongruous. So I think the most important way to start figuring out how a brand has a personality is figuring out who you are and why you started this business and how it makes you feel. Personalities come from feelings. And when you sit around the table with your friends, we have labels for all of our friends. We have, oh, he's the guy you call if you need a ride to the airport because he is always reliable. She is the gal who will always lend you that awesome sweater that she already's got, and she can make me laugh when I've just broken up with somebody. And here's the person who does this. Here's the person who does that. What person do you want your brand to be? How do you want your customers to describe you? It's like, oh my God, this brand, I just feel like if this brand was a I could just sit down and grab a beer and chill with this guy in a hallway outside of a conference room and just talk for hours. So that's a description that you can carry forth and shape a brand around it. And brand, just like people, I mean, when you go through this branding process and figuring out who your company is, it changes. You know, you can start off going, yeah, I'm the lippy kid on the block who's always going to have that wisecrack. And then you may find that there's a softer side of Sears. And you see that on my blog. You know, I'm not always the vomit, whatever comes out of my mouth, and it just lands, and somebody has to clean it up. But you find that you're human, and your brand goes through a wave of emotions. And your customers appreciate that because they see themselves in what you've created. Does that help? Awesome. Who else? Ask. Yeah. What keeps me up at 4 in the morning? Daylight savings time. That's what. Love. 4 letters, 1 word. Friends, family, my business, ideas. And if I check my phone at 4 in the morning and I see an email from a reader of my blog, I respond immediately. That's the one thing, and I appreciate you asking me that, because that's the one thing that, I mean, what are some of the big brand blow-ups we've had this year, or this last year? Netflix, Bank of America. The reason that, what? Rush Limbaugh? Ugh. That right there, that's a visceral reaction to a brand. He is not for everybody. As a matter of fact, you know what? He shouldn't be for anybody. But what happens is that these people forget, these businesses forget. The only reason that anybody in this room, myself included, is allowed to do business tomorrow is because our customers say it's okay. And they give us permission to be in business day after day. And so that's why love is what keeps me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, because I love every reader of my blog. I will hug you if you buy my book, and I will mean it. Because you are the only reason I get to be up here. This could be any one of you. I am not special. I'm a business owner with 2 dogs and 2 cats, 1 more, and I'm going to have to get a fucking shelter permit. And I get up and I put my shoes on 1 leg at a time, my pants on 1 leg at a time, just like everybody else in here. But it's love for what I do and the people in my life that allow me to keep doing what I love that keeps me up at 4 in the morning. My only saving grace, by the way, is to actually not keep my phone in the bedroom, because I will read email at 4 o'clock in the morning and respond to every one of them, because I'm grateful. Who else? Anyone else? Well, I am not going to keep you, but I am going to thank you for your time. There are lots of people in this room who made this happen, and without them, I would not be here. First of all, can I get a big round of applause for the staff and the volunteers at South by Southwest? Second of all, my parents are here. They've put up with this for 39 years. And for that, I am eternally grateful, and I love you both very much. My friends are here all the way from Denver, Colorado. My readers of my blog are here from all over the world, and thank you for letting me in your inbox, because I know that is a very, very private place. My publisher is also here, Wiley Publishing, my acquiring editor, Shannon Vargo, Peter Knox, Nick, Heather, all of you guys from the team who make this happen, and most important, Alan Klosowski here is here from the Denver Post. He's hiding behind here and taking my picture. But the staff at Barnes & Noble, go to bookstores. I know we all love our e-reader devices, and they're incredible, and Amazon and Barnes & Noble both have great e-reader devices. So does Apple and Google and all that. But bookstores, it's a place for ideas. You can walk through the stacks. You can touch ideas. You can pick them up. You can put them down. And the one thing that I didn't say about the book, how many in here are overdoing homework when you flip to a business book and they have a worksheet for you to complete at the end of every chapter? I'm 39 and I don't do that shit. So what you won't find in this book are worksheets. What you will find is on March 20th of this month, unpopularbook.com, there is a fully interactive forum on the website designated for each chapter of the book. What you can do is go in and have conversations with not only the businesses that have donated their time and resources to create these case studies in this book, but you can talk with other business owners to get your problems solved, because I thought that was more useful than having you sit in a dark room with a glass of coffee and a dog and work out through a worksheet what's good and bad about your business. The last thing is that when you go through this book, the case studies in this book are what inspire me. These are businesses you have never heard of. The first one in the book is a hardware store out of Kidron, Ohio, founded by Mennonite missionaries who sell nothing but non-electrical appliances. Chew that around a little bit, and it's one of the finest businesses I've ever met. There's a food truck out of Seattle. There's a guy out of Northern California that makes ducks, rubber ducks that look like celebrities. And I tell you what, he's the case study for the chapter on scalability. Nobody knows scalability like this guy, because he's never had a single W-2 employee. And this is his second business, second multi-million dollar business, and it's not network marketing. And also, for the startups who might be in the room, there is the end of the book, Into Profitability. I had the great fortune of talking with this guy, Josh, at Freestyle Capital, which is a seed stage venture capital firm out of Northern California. Has some infinite wisdom for businesses that are bootstrapped and seeking funding alike, and how to rethink as a business owner what money and your mind mean to you. So thank you for your time this morning, and go find those breakfast tacos. And if you haven't gotten a coffee tumbler, they're at the back of the room. Please grab one. I had 200 made, and I'm not shipping them home. And I'll be at the bookstore in just a second. Thank you. Thank you.